Hello, and welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Well, if there's anything that living through this pandemic has taught us, it's that we need God and His Word, the Bible, more than ever. And because of this, Pastor Rick has decided to bring us the third installment of his powerful series called A Faith That Works When Life Doesn't, taken from the book of James. Stay with us as we continue with our series. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you how to get a hardcover copy of Pastor Rick's wonderful book, The Purpose of Christmas, just in time for the season. Go to PastorRick.com to find out more, or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part two of a message called A Faith That Reduces Quarreling.
James 4, 8 and 9. Wash your hands of your sins and purify your hearts of your double-minded living. Be sad and sorry and grieve over your actions. Stop laughing at your sin and get serious about it. Now, what's he saying here? He's saying, clean up your act. Be sorry for your self-centeredness. He said, that's where conflict comes from. So don't minimize what happens. Take it seriously. He says, wash your hands. That represents our conduct. He says, cleanse your heart. That represents your attitude. He said, you got to first realize how serious this is and how destructive quarreling is in your family and in your business and everywhere else. And he said, then you got to decide, I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm going to ask forgiveness and ask for power. Here's step three. Now we come to the third step in reducing quarreling, whether in your family or your neighborhood or your work. Stop expecting other people, write this down, stop expecting other people to fulfill needs in my life that only God can fulfill. That's one of the big causes of conflict, of quarreling. Stop expecting other people to fulfill needs in my life that only God can fulfill. One of the great causes of conflict and quarrels, particularly in marriage, is when we expect our spouse to meet needs in our lives that only God can meet. Now, that's not only unfair to them, it sets you both up for massive frustration. They're not God. They cannot possibly meet all your needs. Now, I know when you got married, you thought, all my needs are going to be met by my spouse. They couldn't possibly live up to that. They're human beings. They're as broken as you are. And so in this next verse, James says that a lot of our conflicts and our arguments and our quarrels happen because we look to the wrong source to meet our needs, and we ask for the wrong reasons. That's what he says. James 4, 2 and 3, you don't have because you don't ask God for it. You're expecting other people to meet your needs instead of God. You're not praying about it. You're fighting over it. You don't have because you don't ask for it. And if you ask, you don't receive it because you ask with the wrong motivation. Again, God says, the reason you have a lot of conflict in your life is you're expecting other people to meet needs that only I can meet. You're asking the wrong person. Your spouse, no matter how great they are, cannot possibly fill up your need for self-esteem. Your spouse cannot possibly fill up your need for every other emotional need you've got because they're human too. But we look to the wrong source. We expect a person to meet all our needs instead of God. And if we do ask God for help, we often pray with the wrong motivation. That leaves us frustrated. So he says, you know what? Stop quarreling and start praying. Now, prayer is not a vending machine. God is not my genie. God does not exist to serve me, like your wish is my command. He said, God, make me a millionaire. He's not going to make you a millionaire. That's not his goal in life. His goal is not comfort, but character in your life. Comfort's in the next life. And he says, we don't exist. God doesn't exist for us. We exist to serve him. Now, when I look to other things in the world, when I look to other sources to meet my deepest need, whether it's in a bottle or a drug or a TV or sport or another person or a hobby, when I look to somebody else or something else to meet my deepest needs, God says it's a form of spiritual adultery. He goes, why are you going to them? I'm the one who created you. I'm the one who loves you. I want you to notice this next verse, James 4:6. He says this, you know, you cheat on God when you have an affair with what the world values. What does the world value? Sex, salary, status, position, passion, possession. Okay? He says, when you cheat on God when you have a love affair with what the world values. If my values is the same as everybody who's not a Christian, I'm having a spiritual affair. I'm being a spiritual adulterer. He said to love the world, what the world loves is to hate God and to be the enemy of God. This is what the scripture means when it says that God's Spirit who lives in us is intensely jealous. Did you know that the Holy Spirit is jealous for your love? He wants your faithful love. He wants your unconditional love. He wants your focused love. He doesn't want you sharing your love with everybody else. I'm talking about the value system of this world. He says he wants our faithful love. That's why he gives us so much grace. Now, here's the fourth step in reducing quarrels, okay? Number four. This is a big one. Next verse, James says this, choose humility over prideful anger. Choose humility over prideful anger. And he's saying this because all along he said that pride is behind all of the conflict. Pride is behind quarreling. Pride always shows up. You know, when Kay and I got married, the very first Bible verse that we memorized together as a couple was Proverbs 13:10. We actually had to memorize it on our honeymoon. Why? Because we were already having some quarrels on our honeymoon. Proverbs 13:10 says this, real simple. Pride only leads to quarrels. Oh my goodness. Have you found that to be true in your life? Wherever there are quarrels, you can be sure there's pride. It may be hurt ego. I didn't feel like you treated me like I ought to be treated. It may be wounded pride, but it's there. You didn't feel like you were treated correctly. Now question, have you ever been prideful? And so prideful that you could not compromise on something, even though you should. Yeah. Have you ever been in an argument with your spouse where you knew you were wrong, but you just couldn't admit it? Yes. Everybody raise your hand. Okay. That's why James makes a big deal and a big emphasis on humility as an antidote, one of the seven antidotes to quarreling. And here's what he says, James 4:6-7. As the scripture says, God opposes the prideful, but he gives his grace to the humble. So give yourself completely to God. Now, notice, if you're taking notes, circle that word opposes. God declares war on pride. God declares war on ego, on arrogance, on selfishness. Anytime pride rears its head in my life, I'm on the opposite side of God. I'm going to lose that battle because my arms are too short to box with God.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. If you'd like to reach out to Rick to let him know how this broadcast has blessed you, go ahead and email him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com.
Christmas is right around the corner. Where has the year gone? You know, a lot of us stress out around this time of year, losing sight of the real meaning of the season. That's why we'd like you to know about Pastor Rick's book called The Purpose of Christmas. In it, Rick shows you how Christmas is designed to meet your three deepest needs and how receiving God's three Christmas gifts to you this year will transform your life forever. This book is one to be read every Christmas and to be shared with your friends who may not know the true meaning of Christmas. Let us send you a hardcover copy of this inspiring and beautifully illustrated book, The Purpose of Christmas by Rick Warren, as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope. We're sure that God will use it to stir up hope, peace, and gratitude in your heart this Christmas season. Go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com. Or you can call 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. Thanks in advance for your support.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Once again, here's Pastor Rick Warren.
God declares war on ego, on arrogance, on selfishness. Anytime pride rears its head in my life, I'm on the opposite side of God. I'm going to lose that battle because my arms are too short to box with God. God opposes them. God doesn't just say, oh, that's a little petty sin. It says God openly opposes people who are prideful. So if you want God's help in reducing conflict or anything else in your life, it starts with humility. God declares war on ego. Now, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but God has a unique way of engineering circumstances to deflate our ego. He's got plenty of them. He's got plenty of ways to deflate our ego. The truth is, to be in opposition to God is a dangerous place to be. You're on a collision course with the creator of the universe, and you're going to lose. So suck it up and humble yourself. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Now, if pride causes quarrels, then that means the opposite is true too. The cure for quarrels is humility. Every time I'm humble, I get along better with my wife, my kids, my friends, my employees, the members of my church, my neighbors. The Bible says God gives grace to the humble. What's grace? Grace is the power to change. If you want to stop the fighting in your home, then you need grace. And there's only one way to get grace. Be humble. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Then notice, he says, God gives grace to the humble. And he says, so give yourselves completely to God. He says, let God be God in your life. Give yourself to him completely, like every part. You got a house, give him the bathroom, give him the bedroom, give him the kitchen, give him the living room, give him the backyard, give him the garage, give him the secret compartment in your case, in the closet. Yield yourself completely to God. This is the starting point. You quit trying to run your own life without God. Remember in verse 1, it said, the battle that's within you, that civil war that's going on, the real conflict is inside you is this. Who's in charge? Who's in charge of you? You or God? Now, God gives us, in the same passage in James, he gives us a great promise that when we humble ourselves. In verse 10, the end of this passage, James 4:10, James says this, if you humble yourself before the Lord, he will lift you up. He'll lift you up. The more I go down, the more he raises me up. What does it mean to be lifted up? It means this. The more you humble yourself, the more God will honor you. The more you humble yourself, the more God will bless you. The more you humble yourself, the more God will exalt you. That word literally is the word he's talking about. Lift you up. It's exalt. We talk about exalting Christ. I exalt you, Christ. God says, I will exalt you if you humble yourself. And humility is the antidote to the pride that causes all of those quarrels. Now we come to the fifth step. And this fifth step is to recognize in every quarrel that there is an unseen spiritual war going on behind the scenes. You may think you're arguing about who took out the garbage or didn't. You may think you're arguing about leaving clothes on the floor or something else, something petty or trivial. But behind the scenes, at the surface level, there's a quarrel over something that may be pretty minor. But at a deeper level, Satan is trying to wreak havoc, create chaos, create distractions, create destruction in your relationships, in your friendships, in your marriage, in your parenting, in your home, with your brother, with your sister, with your neighbors, with your friends at work or coworkers, with people who live by you. Satan is behind the scenes taking every little opportunity to mess you up with conflict. And that's why the fifth step that James gives us in reducing quarrels is this. Recognize the source behind all conflict. You need to recognize the source behind all conflict. We wage not against flesh and blood. We're not fighting a battle that's fair. Satan is not seen, but he is real. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27, it says this: anger gives a mighty foothold to the devil. Hello. Anger gives a mighty foothold, gives them a beachhead, gives them a place to stand. Anger gives the devil a pinion or something to hold on to in your life. Anger gives a mighty foothold to the devil. Anytime you get angry in a quarrel, anytime you use hurtful words, you are opening the door for Satan to get a foothold in your emotions and in your relationships, in both. You're giving him a foothold in your emotions and your relationships. Now, it is Satan who wants to damage all your relationships. It is Satan who wants to destroy all your relationships. And he is always ready. Believe me, he's always ready with an arsenal of hurtful words for you to use. And he's ready to support them and plant them in your mind the moment you get into a quarrel. He is always ready with an arsenal of what I call WMDs, words of mass destruction, that he wants you to use. And that's why the next thing that James says to do to reduce quarrels is in verse 7. And here's what he says here. He said, if you want to reduce these quarrels in your life, number 7, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. He says, that's part of lowering the quarrels in your life. How in the world do I do that? How do I resist the devil and he flees from me? Well, let me give you 2 very practical suggestions for resisting the devil. Because if you notice, let's just take a hypothetical here. Now, I know this never happens to you, right? But if you notice this week, you're about to get into a quarrel with somebody, and you see, this is going a little far. It's going to turn into a full-on fight. It's going to turn into a quarrel. We're going to have an argument here because I'm cranky or they're cranky or whatever. And you're about to get into quarrel with anybody. You need to do these 2 things, which will help you resist the devil. Number 1. Be aware. You need to be aware even before the quarrel starts that Satan has a plan to upset you. He wants you to be stressed. He wants you to be angry. He wants you to be hurt. God certainly doesn't want any of that. God doesn't want you stressed or angry or hurt, but the devil does. And Satan will use any negative emotion in your life to destroy your peace. And that's why the first step of this is to be aware of how he works. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 says this: we're very aware of Satan's schemes so that he doesn't outwit us. Now, if you don't know how Satan schemes, then you will get outwitted time and time again. But to be aware is to be armed to resist. So let me ask you, are you aware of how Satan uses destructive words in your life? Are you aware of that? The ones that come at you and the ones that come out of your mouth. Are you aware that when you get angry and you use hurtful words, you're actually giving Satan a foothold in both your life and your relationships? Starting point is to realize this is not just a little argument here between me and my spouse or me and a child or me and somebody else. No, Satan is looking for a foothold, both in my emotions and in my relationship. And then the second part, here's the second key, and this is very important, so I want to explain it. Recognize what part of your brain you're using at the moment you get into the conflict. Let me say it again. Recognize what part, you know, your brain has many parts. Recognize what part of your brain you're using at the moment you get into the quarrel. Now, let me explain this. This is stuff we didn't even know. The Bible knew it, but now science has explained it through neuroscience. Your brain has many different levels of complexity because your brain is partitioned to do different things, okay? And some things are automatic, like your blood pressure and your breathing and your heartbeat, and other things are by volitional. You make a choice, and so there are different kinds of functions done by different parts of your brain. I'm going to show you this graphic on the screen right now. Dr. Bruce Perry created it, that the highest and smartest part of your brain, okay, if you had levels, it's not really levels, but just think of it that way. The highest and smartest part of your brain is called your neocortex, all right? Now, when you're using that part of your brain, you're thinking really clearly. That part of your brain, the neocortex, when you're using that part, it's rational, it's thoughtful, you're able to reason, you're able to see different points of view. When you're using your neocortex, you're doing your best and clearest thinking. When you're writing a business plan, when you're writing poetry, when you're writing a letter, you're using the neocortex part of your brain. And that's the highest and clearest and best use of your brain. But a little bit lower in your brain, a lower part of your brain, is called your limbic brain. It's much more emotional. It's much more physical. It's not as smart. It's dumb. It's reactionary. Now, it's so emotional. It's gutsy. When you raise your voice in anger, you drop from your neocortex into your limbic. You're dropping into a lower, dumber part of your brain. You're not going to think as clearly. Now, when you're calm and you're collected and you're not stressed, you're thinking in your neocortex. But when you're stressed or you're fearful or you get angry, you get a shot of adrenaline, you drop into the lower levels of your brain and you're not nice when you drop into the lower part of your brain because you're instinctual and you're protective and you don't think clearly and it's all emotion and you might yell, you might throw something. That's not your best thinking. Anytime you see any of those things, you've moved out of your best thinking in your cortex, into limbic.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Thanks for joining us for today's lesson. If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, feel free to send him an email at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Rick will be right back to close out our time today, but first, so many of us stress out around this time of year, losing sight of the real meaning of the season. That's why we'd like to let you know about Pastor Rick's book called The Purpose of Christmas. In it, Rick shows you how Christmas is designed to meet your three deepest needs and how receiving God's three Christmas gifts to you this year will transform your life forever. Right now, here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
Have you noticed that people are more open to talking about Jesus at Christmas than at any other time of the year? Regardless of their religious background or their problems or their circumstances, everybody needs to know that Jesus loves them, that Christmas means that God has a plan for their life, and that God is with us. So this Christmas season, I want to encourage you to share the story of Christmas with your family, your friends, and your neighbors. Now, one of the ways you can do this is through a little book I wrote called The Purpose of Christmas. It explains the true meaning of Christmas and the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And when you give somebody a copy of The Purpose of Christmas, it's going to start a conversation with them about Jesus and about the purpose of his love and the purpose for their lives. You can invite them to a Christmas Eve service at your church. This month, I'd like to send you a copy of this book, The Purpose of Christmas. You can read it. You can pass it on to a friend who needs to know the true meaning. Just partner with us at Daily Hope and let us partner with you in reaching your friends and family for Christ. By the way, write to me, rick@pastorrick.com, and let me know who you're praying for, who you want to come to Christ this Christmas, who you're inviting to church. I'd love to pray with you about that. God bless you.
Call 800-600-5004 to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or you can visit PastorRick.com. That's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our Daily Hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.